Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the January 10th broadcast of Italian Tomatoes. Welcome to Italian Tomatoes. I'm your host, Bob Curie. It is Saturday, January 10th. I hope you are having a good new year so far. The chat is open if you wish to participate in the chat. And to call into the show, the number is 646-478-0004. And that number, again, is 646-478-0004. The theme of tonight's show is the liberal cosmos is cracking up. I thought that this would be an appropriate subject considering the events of the week when I did my New Year's Eve show on December 31st. I couldn't have imagined that we would get such a spectacular illustration of the breakdown of the liberal and progressive view of the world as what occurred in Paris this past week, but it did happen and it does need some dwelling on. So we're going to sort of use that to frame our discussion tonight. So once again, the number is 646-478-0004 to call into the show, and the chat is open. The show is scheduled for 90 minutes. I don't know if we will use that whole time frame. It depends on what kind of live activity we have. So now I'll just go into my prepared remarks. Cosmos is a term that's used to describe a comprehensive way of looking at the universe and how everything fits together. And the term was made very popular and famous by Carl Sagan with his famous Cosmos TV series in the late 1970s and early 1980s, where he explored the history of science and how humans discovered and broadened their understanding of the workings of the Earth and the heavens and the natural laws. It was a very entertaining series. And Carl Sagan was quite a showman. He had a lot of interesting mannerisms and sound effects that were used on the show, and that were later satirized. So to sort of get in the mood of the Cosmos theme, we will play the Cosmos theme, and here it goes. I can get my switchboard to cooperate. Thank you. Well, that was the Cosmos theme, and like I said, Carl Sagan had a very distinct delivery when he did the narrative on the show, and it was satirized quite mercilessly during the late 70s and 80s when the show was at the height of its popularity. One of the things that he often did to just convey the sheer size and scope of his subject matter was to try to use quantitative measures. So he would talk in terms of millions and billions of stars and galaxies and planets and everything else like that. And, of course, that got satirized quite a bit. And so just give you an illustration of that with a satire that somebody did of the various voice clips from the show.
Billions, billions, trillions, trillion, million, 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 billion, 400 billion suns, billion, trillion, million, billion, trillions of orbiting snowballs, billion, 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 trillions,
million, million, million,
million, billion, billion,
billion, million,
billion, billion,
billion,
million, million,
billion, billion,
billion,
billion,
billion,
million,
million,
millions,
billion,
million, million,
million, million,
billion,
billion,
4 billion-year-old
tree.
Ends of billion.
I have trillions.
Billions, billions.
So, like I said, many, many satirists would imitate Carl Sagan's kind of unique speech patterns with the millions and billions. And another mannerism he had was when he was describing the beliefs of the people at the time, when he was describing how scientific knowledge evolved, he would go into what they really believed and what they got wrong and how their beliefs were eventually altered by the process of discovery and experimentation and stuff like that. So a very famous phrase was, they believed. So in order to do the liberal cosmos thing, I'm going to kind of ape that to go into some of the common themes of the progressive view of the cosmos. What did they believe about the nature, human nature, and the world around them? And one of the things, one perhaps the most overriding thing that they believed in was the view of equality, that equality above all else is the desired social goal to be achieved by redistribution. They also believed in multiculturalism. All cultures are compatible and can live together in the same society. They also believe very strongly, in fact, in authoritarianism, that the best way to run a society is to have it directed by a powerful state, run by enlightened elites trained by the academy. These elites mediate conflicts among members of society and impose solutions by force if necessary. And the model is legitimate because the elites are smarter than ordinary people. Now, you can see there is an inherent conflict between that and what we commonly associate with democratic values. And I believe the emphasis on authoritarianism is probably one of the biggest weaknesses in the liberal view of the cosmos and what will probably be responsible for its crack-up. Liberals and progressives also believe very strongly in interest group liberalism and victimhood. Some groups are more worthy of state protection than others based on historical injustices in the past, and their current interests must be advanced and protected, even if other groups have to be repressed, disesteemed, mocked, and even persecuted. This is not a good recipe for a harmonious society because it does build a lot of resentments over time, but liberals and progressives seem to be oblivious to all that. Progressive also believe in the supremacy of science, or more accurately, scientific rationalism, which is supposed to trump tradition, faith, and also popular opinion. And that is a very dangerous concept when you ally it with a strong and powerful state. Now, their science is not empirical science. It is science by consensus, what liberals accept as a scientific reality by consensus among themselves, not people outside their circle. And their thought processes are very driven by a priori reasoning. So one of the things that you run across in their view of the world when they are relying on science is the concept that the science is settled. The elites determine what acceptable science is, and then they use state power and state funding to suppress opposing views, contrary research, and the like. Again, it's a very authoritarian way of looking at the world. Liberals and progressives in their view of the world are also quite anti-American. They do not believe in American exceptionalism. They think American exceptionalism must be repressed. Globally oriented ideologies are superior to the premises underlying the American Constitution and system of representative government and divided government and checks and balances and the limitations of government power. America, in their view, is too strong. It is responsible for the world's ills. It must acknowledge its guilt wherever possible for everything that is going wrong. And, of course, you see that the sort of apogee of all of this in the presidency of Barack Obama, where as far as our posture towards the rest of the world, it's government by guilt and apologies. I mean, he's always going around the world bowing and scraping and, you know, knocking down America, talking it down, saying how it needs to defer to the superior wisdom of the global community. It's kind of interesting because liberals have a very passive, aggressive approach to governance. They are passive related to foreign powers, where they are very reluctant to affirm and express and defend America's national interests, but they are very aggressive concerning the American citizenry, which are treated as intellectual inferiors, people who need to be cajoled into accepting an enlightened view of the world. They need to be dictated to by the authoritarian hand of a strong central government. It's quite obnoxious in its extreme manifestations. Just want to check chat and switchboard, see if anything needs attention. That looks quiet. So I'll continue with my discussion here. Okay. And one of the probably notorious examples of the liberal view of the cosmos is their whole approach to climate change, where human activity is considered to be the primary driver of climate change, and the progressive view is that a top-down direction of economic activity is necessary to control climate change. So the state is to be given more and more power to allocate economic resources where necessary. Taxes and regulation will be used to suppress activity that the elites do not like and to encourage activity that they do like. So once again, the view is top-down, authoritarian, and quite anti-democratic and incompatible with representative government. Now, progressive views have been in the ascendancy for quite some time now, based on what happened as the Bush administration kind of became exhausted by the unexpected problems they had in pursuing the Iraq war and also the Afghanistan conflict. A very liberal Congress came in 2006 election, and then, of course, Barack Obama came in 2008. And although the Republicans took back the House in 2010, as far as governance goes, even in the 4 years after 2010, because of the really resolve of the Obama people, I mean, you have to give them credit, their views have been ascendant. So we are now going into the seventh year of the Obama presidency, and it's time to evaluate, well, they've had a chance to direct the government and society at large based on the progressive view of the world. How is it all turning out? And just to give a humorous introduction to that concept, this is my view of how increasing numbers of the American people are reacting when progressivism touches their daily lives. That is a clip from the Brain from Planet Aris. It's one of my favorite 50s science fiction movies. And I like to make a parallel between the Aris in Brain from Planet Aris and Bill Ayers, who is one of Obama's gurus, as he began his career as a community organizer. Seriously, we now have had quite a period of time in which progressive ideas have been touching our lives and the destiny of our country, and I think people are justifiably reacting in a very negative way, which was expressed in the last election. So let's look at how the liberal view of the Congress is faring and why it is cracking up. Now, clearly, the events of the past week have illustrated the fact that there really is a war on terror and that there are real threats to our national security. The rise of global jihadism is a serious threat to our country, and it is also a threat to the progressive concepts of multiculturalism and scientific rationalism. Now, if there is anything that Islamist extremism is not, it is not accepting of scientific rationalism. But because of the left's devotion to multiculturalism, they seem to be paralyzed in terms of coming up with a response to this threat. Their paradigm, which insists on accepting both multiculturalism and scientific rationalism, cannot deal with the inherent contradiction between these two notions in the face of Islamic extremism. Human conflict is rising despite the preponderance of progressive thinking and policies. Now, one of the core beliefs of liberalism and progressivism has been that once the right people are in charge, namely themselves, and get a chance to implement enlightened policy, the global level of conflict will go down and there will be increased harmony, tolerance, understanding, and progress. And it's just not happening. I mean, of course, with the Charlie Hebdo murders, we saw a terrible illustration of the power of extremism in France, a very secular country, one that has been very accommodating and sympathetic to leftist ideas. We've also seen terror in Canada, which is not commonly thought of as being a real right-wing country with the attack on the parliament. We've seen it in Australia with the attack on the cafe and the deaths that resulted there. Of course, the rise of ISIS is a spectacular contradiction to the liberal view of the world. Remember, the Obama people said that once America reduced its free footprint, withdrew from Iraq, withdrew from the military role in the Middle East, everything would fall into place, and America was really responsible for the violence there. And, of course, we did withdraw. We took our troops out, and violence and extremism exploded in the most spectacular way with the rise of ISIS, with the conflict and terrible civil war in Syria, with the descent of Libya into social disintegration and the rise of radical groups there. We have seen the failure of the outreach of the Obama people to Iran, which continues to pursue its nuclear weapons program, and which is playing more and more of an aggressive role in the Middle East. One of Obama's key simpatico allies in the region is Prime Minister and now President Erdogan of Turkey, and he is implementing a very strong-armed version of social conservatism in Turkey, where he's pushing concepts such as the dangers of birth control and how women need to, society needs to lean on women to produce more children and things of that nature. And this is a big Obama ally, and it's quite ironic that that is so, because, of course, those who remember his domestic political operation will remember all the bogus issues that the left manufactured concerning the Republican approach to contraception, women's rights, the war on women, and all the other bogus themes that they've pushed over the past 6 years. So again, there is an enormous contradiction there. When it comes to law and order, we see the crack up of the liberal view of the world in events related to guns, police, and crime. We've seen the left pursue very anti-police, anti-law and order rhetoric based on supposed victimization of young black men by the police. But when you look closely at the incidents such as Ferguson, you see that the fact of the matter is that the police are not perfect. But the reality of crime is a reality. It's not something the police are causing. And sometimes their reactions are not perfect, but the phenomenon that they are reacting to is real. And, of course, the left was very instrumental in whipping up anti-police demonstrations in response to things like Ferguson and just fanning the flames of the rhetoric. And then they got this terrible shock when the murders of the two policemen occurred in New York City, after the mayor, allied with Al Sharpton and a lot of other rabble-rousing civil rights, so-called civil rights leaders, had whipped up a frenzy against the police. Some people just, the crazies that are always in an audience, took it literally and went out and killed a couple of them. So, again, the liberal view of the cosmos is cracking up, and we see it manifested in the public square over and over again. So, getting to the end of the prepared remarks here, on climate, we see increasing evidence that the global warming consensus was at best wrong, and at worst a con driven by the hunger of liberal-connected activists for research money and political power. We see constant contradictions
to the global warming narrative, the recovery of the ice caps and increasingly frigid weather. Now, no one really knows. Weather, climate is an enormously complicated thing, and I wouldn't be willing to say that it's a certainty whether the Earth is cooling or warming or whatever. But the narrative of global warming and the association of that narrative with the quest for political power, I think, has been harmful to the general health of discussion in the public square and the allocation of resources. And it is clear that the global warming narrative that was pushed so vigorously in the late 1990s and the first decade of the 21st century, that narrative, to at the least, is very, very questionable. And finally, we have the phenomenon of healthcare, which was, again, a perfect illustration of the liberal view of and progressive view of the world. The left and the progressive pushed for a greatly expanded role of government in the healthcare system, and they used a lot of deceitful tactics to pass the Affordable Health Care Act, claiming that it would lower costs, that it would increase access to the health care system, that it would result in an improvement in public health because of the increased access. And this whole narrative is just cracking up under the weight of reality. The way the system is currently designed, the ACA-compliant healthcare policies have increased deductibles, increased premiums, and restricted networks of providers available to patients. And the net impact of all of that is going to discourage people from using the healthcare system, and in all likelihood have a negative impact on public health. But even more than that, I mean, any society can come up with a policy that doesn't work. I mean, it's just part of human nature. It's trial and error. What was particularly offensive about the ACA was the techniques of dishonesty and propaganda used to push it. And we got a spectacular illustration of that when one of the architects, Jonathan Gruber, was because he had a big mouth, basically, was caught on tape saying that they deliberately deceived the people about the ACA in order to promote the greater good of passing the ACA. They just lied about it to make it more palatable. So again, this is an illustration of how the accepted liberal view of the cosmos and the world around them is cracking up. So I'm getting to the end of my prepared remarks here, and it looks like a quiet Saturday night, so very light activity in chat and no callers, so I'm not going to just continue to drone on here. In closing, I would like to just point out that we have to be aware of the environment around us as we contemplate our reaction to what is going on. The liberal view of the world, the progressive view of human nature, of the cosmos, of the world around us, of foreign powers, domestic policy, it's all cracking up. It is unraveling. And our challenge is to come up with alternatives to this view of the world. And the left is not going to go easily. Even though it is visibly failing, they still have enormous influence in the media, in the academy, in some of the corporate institutions of America. And they will use any power they have to continue to defend their view of the world and to maintain a state of denial about how their view of the world is failing the public that they purport to serve. So we have to just steel ourselves to continue to express the truth, to defend the truth, to point out that their view of the world simply does not work, and eventually the truth will win out. So to close the show for tonight, I'm going to play a clip from one of the great famous movies of the 20th century, which is Casablanca, where the customers of Rick's Cafe, in the light of the tyrannical presence of the Germans in their society and the Nazi influence, took an opportunity to express the truth and to take a stand for human rights and the truth. So I'm going to close the show on that note, the famous bar scene in Casablanca. Well, in closing, I would say that we all, in our own way, have to play the Marseillaise in the way that the citizens did in that movie, and witness to the truth as we see it, no matter how authoritative the liberals and left promote their view and how authoritatively they promote their view of the world. It is a view that is not working and that is harming the people that it purports to serve. So I hope you all have a very wonderful weekend and a safe weekend. Enjoy your football, enjoy your sports, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks to just carry on our conversation. Have a very good night.